Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Harmony Foundation podcast series. I'm pleased today to be joined with Young People in Recovery, Al Fabricius, who's the Denver chapter leader, and Emily Burks, Colorado program coordinator. Mm-hmm. Welcome.
Thank you.
So good to have you both here on a beautiful summer day in Estes Park, Colorado.
Yes.
Really glad that you're here and really happy to talk to you all about YPR and what you all do. I just learned today at lunch that it's a Colorado-based organization. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. And you all are national, which is even cooler.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're going to get into learning about YPR in a minute, but we want to learn a little bit about both of you. So let's start with you first, Al. What is it that got you connected with YPR?
So I am currently enrolled for school in Human Services with Addiction Studies, and I actually started with YPR as an intern. And then about a month into my internship, there was an opening for the Denver chapter lead. So I applied for that position, and it's been awesome since. I just have been planning all the events and everything like that. So
your role is event planner for the chapters?
For Denver.
Just for Denver's chapter.
And then the all recovery meetings as well.
Okay.
Yes.
And we're going to talk a little bit about the structure of YPR, because mm-hmm. I think you guys have used a different bit of language that I'm not familiar with as far as chapter leaders and teams and things like that.
We've got our own lingo.
I want to learn a little bit about that too. And so Emily, how about you? What got you connected with YPR?
Yeah, so my background is in mental health, and I've worked with children and adolescents affected by trauma for the majority of my career, but I have a family who's been deeply affected by addiction, and so upon moving to Colorado, I found YPR and felt a big pull to the work that they do. And it's been a learning curve because it's not doing direct care. I manage the program and I manage the grant that funds our programs mm-hmm. and our chapters. So I'm learning a lot, and I'm also feeling like I'm getting to work with the recovery community, which is, you know, a population I feel really passionate about.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. I'm not a person in recovery, but I have family and friends that have been affected by the disease.
Right.
And so for me, it was a huge learning curve when I came into the field 10 years ago. First, there's that whole fear of, what can I possibly contribute? Because
exactly.
I'm not a person in recovery, mm-hmm. and I think we all realize, and your shirt says it beautifully.
Yeah.
That, what, tell me, it says, I love someone
says,
in recovery.
Yeah, I love someone in recovery.
Which is available, right? People can get those?
Yeah, we have a link to our shop where you can purchase different shirts. So this one's like for allies and family members, and then we have ones that also say this is what recovery looks like for people in recovery. And there's a couple different options, on our website that you can purchase them.
Right, and that's the kind of thing that I love about being in the recovery space with folks is that, you know, you don't have to be in recovery per se, although
right.
I do think what I hear is that everyone's in recovery from something, so
I
know
that
I
too.
Am
I believe
so
her.
Well, I'm excited to hear more about sort of the structure of how YPR works. And before I talk with you, Elle, about, you know, this idea of recovery-ready communities, let me ask you, Emily, mm-hmm. when someone wants to approach YPR as part of getting involved, mm-hmm. Can you describe a little bit around the organizational structure of what YPR is, and what does that involvement look like?
Yeah, so I would say the foundation, like the real heart of our organization is our chapters, and so those are all of our community-based groups that are across the country. We have 37 different chapters from coast to coast, and I think we have 7 in Colorado right mm-hmm. now. So if someone wants to get involved, then they would just use our website to find the chapter that's closest to them, and they could come to a meeting or a social event if they felt called to join the organization in terms of being a volunteer, then they would talk to the chapter lead and they could connect that way. We like to prioritize hiring people who are in recovery themselves too, to give people leadership opportunities and opportunities to give back to their community too. Mm-hmm. So always looking for good leaders, and oftentimes those do come out of people who are involved with the chapters mm-hmm. too. So mm-hmm. I really like that kind of flow to our organization mm-hmm. as well, and I think that there's a lot of value and a lot of opportunity to learn when we have so many people who have had real-time, first-hand experiences with substance use disorder mm-hmm. who are doing the work alongside us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is a great segue into this concept around you all are building these communities of support for folks mm-hmm. in recovery, whether they're early in recovery or even later in recovery.
Right.
And now your focus as a Denver lead is to really create these recovery-ready communities. Mm-hmm. And you talk a little bit about that on the website as well. What does that mean to be recovery-ready?
So for a recovery-ready community, ideally would be affordable and equal treatment for everybody, stable quality housing for people mm-hmm. in recovery, equal educational opportunities, financial, like, literacy and understanding that. And then our biggest, I think, would be, like, our pushing towards recovery messaging, which is changing the language of how we address people who have substance use disorder, trying to remove words like saying that you are an addict, mm-hmm. and instead referring to yourself as someone in substance use disorder. So,
and that's big, because I know that there's mm-hmm. a lot of people that struggle with the idea of being identified as an addict or alcoholic yeah. versus a person in long-term recovery, because yeah. it feels very, it feels negative.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I know that that's based deeply trenched in, you know, some of the 12-step mm-hmm. communities where they really still focus on that. But mm-hmm. I have heard more and more of a movement happening, maybe with the younger generation.
Yeah, I think that's where we're seeing it a lot. And because we really emphasize the importance of feeling empowered mm-hmm. in your recovery and being able to live a self-directed life. So if you're speaking about yourself and you're speaking about your recovery from a really empowered stance, and other people who may have certain perceptions and certain negative connotations of people in recovery, and they witness you talking about, you mm-hmm. know, your experience in a really positive and a really empowered way, then it shifts this whole social mindset of what it means for someone who has substance use disorder mm-hmm. or who's in recovery from substance use disorder. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we're looking to get everyone on board to, not mm-hmm. just people who have been directly impacted, because you can't exist in society and not be impacted. It's everywhere. So, like, looking to have that kind of shift in social consciousness is really important for us. And so giving people the tools and the language to say, mm-hmm. hey, like, if that's how you identify, that's cool. We're not going to say, you know, go, like, reinvent the wheel when it comes to your own recovery. But also, like, consider these alternatives, too, mm-hmm. and how that kind of feels for you and mm-hmm. how that feels when you're engaging with other people, mm-hmm. too.
Well, I think it's all that positive, the positive approach to how you see yourself.
A yep. lot of it is focusing on the positive side of recovery rather than the struggles that mm-hmm. you faced. Mm-hmm. It's more of let's not focus on all the negative, and let's focus on the positivity that recovery has brought you mm-hmm. rather than the negative from substance use disorder.
It makes so much sense. And then your concept around these recovery ready communities, we talked a little bit about this at lunch in regards mm-hmm. to creating a culture and a community where people can do the basic life skills that yep. a lot of them have forgotten how to do in their disease.
Yep. Or didn't know how to do in the first
place. In the first place.
And that's
you know,
why they turned to
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And we've learned over time, even in addiction treatment, that sometimes we forget about connecting the dots. And that's why right. a lot of folks are now starting to introduce these recovery coaches who can teach people, oh, so you have a sober living that you're going to live in over here mm-hmm. and your IOP is down the road, but mm-hmm. you don't have a vehicle to get there.
Right.
Well, somebody forgot to talk about the bus
right.
line.
Yeah, you those know? Dots are not
right.
connected.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, and
yeah.
so how do you help people in early recovery, even mm-hmm. grocery shop, and recognize that mm-hmm. Red Bull and Cheetos is not the best option for your
right,
early
right.
recovery?
Right.
So what about, let's take you to the grocery store and teach you basic life skills.
The produce section.
Yeah. And yeah. I talk to a lot of people in early recovery who say when they slip, not necessarily relapse, but mm-hmm. when they slip, it's because it's the early life skills stuff that
totally.
They didn't learn. So
totally.
What you all are creating, mm-hmm. I think, is brilliant mm-hmm. around how do you help create that safety net for people in early
right.
recovery. So I think
right.
that's fantastic.
Yeah, we're proud of it.
Yeah. So one of the things that you all are also known for, I guess, is the work that you're doing around advocacy. And it kind of ties into the recovery ready communities
exactly.
because so much of what you're talking about as far as affordable housing
mm-hmm.
and job skill training and even, mm-hmm. you know, equality and finding good jobs.
Mm-hmm.
How does YPR create an advocacy role in addressing those issues?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it looks different based on different chapters across the country, too. I know in Pennsylvania, our chapter there has been doing a lot of great work in terms of lobbying for mm-hmm. legislation to be passed around housing and different having expectations for what sober living looks like and making sure that those are safe places for people
mm-hmm.
Who are just starting out in their recovery, because, like, that's, like, step one, mm-hmm. you know, is, like, having that safe environment. But what, you know, what that looks like just on a day-to-day basis for us, too, is just having conversations with people,
mm-hmm.
you know, just, like, right now of what people need in order to be successful in their recovery. I know
mm-hmm.
Denver was talking, you know, in past months about a safe use site, and that's kind of been tabled for now, but
mm-hmm.
That's something that we feel really passionate about, the access to Narcan
mm-hmm.
for people.
Absolutely.
We have a contract with Signal, which we're really proud of, so we're able to give Narcan and do training for people, too, so we can be saving people's lives.
Nice.
So those are the two things that I think are kind of Denver-specific that I think really kind of take the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
But then the housing, access to education, all of that, too, like, people don't think that they're tied to mm-hmm. recovery, but they totally are. Again, mm-hmm. they're those basic fundamental things that everyone should be entitled to. Mm-hmm. Just because you've struggled with substance use disorder doesn't mean that you don't deserve to have these like right. pillars right. of living, you know, an empowered and successful life, mm-hmm. and that at least have the opportunity, mm-hmm. you know, to access mm-hmm. those things. Otherwise, it's like you're swimming upstream.
Yeah,
so.
I agree with you. And it's great to know that there's somebody advocating at the state level here in Colorado around mm-hmm. those kinds of things, because mm-hmm. sometimes there's a forgotten voice.
Absolutely.
And there's so many other things that are going on in the political arena, mm-hmm. To know that there's somebody up there making those decisions and helping us kind of advocate for parity yeah. and equality and, mm-hmm. and some of the other issues that I know a lot of people in early recovery really struggle with. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and we were even recently having a conversation with a friend of ours who works for a state-based organization too, around creating a warning system around fentanyl for people mm. who are, you know, still actively using, and mm-hmm. what that would look like in the community, and how we can alert people mm-hmm. when there are deadly amounts of, you know, fentanyl and other substances that are killing people.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Senselessly. So that's something I think that I would like to do more work around mm-hmm. With our partners too, because I think that that's a really good idea, and I think it's really, really important.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Do you, you probably get this a lot. I know I asked the question today as far as YPR, Young People in Recovery. Mm-hmm. It's a great group, but the name sometimes can be a little misleading.
Totally.
Yeah, because the assumption is that YPR is just for young adults and people that are almost millennial types, and mm-hmm. so... What is that? Is that true?
No, so that's not the case. So the organization was started by young individuals, so that was what the name was chosen for. But we serve people of all ages. If you are in recovery, seeking recovery, support the recovery lifestyle, we welcome you with open arms. You do not, and I'd like to emphasize the seeking recovery, because I think a lot of people think that they have to be sober to come, mm-hmm. and that's not the case. If you even... If recovery sounds like it could be something you're interested in, we will welcome you with open arms. And, yeah, any age, any demographic.
85 years old.
Exactly.
And think that
well, everybody's young at heart, so
right.
why not?
Yeah,
right.
you're only as old as you feel.
That's
you
right.
Know? I mean, I don't want you, like, cruising up trying to preach some, like, outdated ideas and mm-hmm. all of that.
Right.
But at the same time, yeah, there's always something to be learned from different generations
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
having people interact from that perspective is really neat.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I think that's great. Well, let's talk a little bit about both of you and getting to know the people behind the program. So, Elle, if I were to give you an opportunity to put a saying or a quote on a billboard that you would want the world to know, what would you want them to know?
So it is actually a quote by Buddha, and it is, no matter how hard the past, you can always begin again.
Mm.
And I think,
and why is that important to you?
Because I feel, especially in recovery, so often it's easy to just sit and dwell on your past and think about all of the past demons and everything. And it's easy to forget that you are able to be whoever you wanted to be starting today.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that happened in the past, you do not have to forget it. And your past can be super hard, and that is all still completely valid. But that does not mean that you do not deserve to make your future mm-hmm. everything that you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to be stuck just in the mm-hmm. hard times that you have already overcome.
Mm-hmm. Not being defined by your
exactly.
past. But
exactly.
by what you want your future to look like.
Yeah.
I like that. Thank
yeah.
you for sharing
yeah,
that.
Thank you.
Buddha
and
knows what's up.
Yeah. Buddha's Buddha.
Yeah, right? No arguing that.
No. So, Emily, if I were to offer up the word harmony, what do you think it means to live a life in harmony?
A good one. I think harmony is peaceful coexistence. Mm. It's not one way is the right way. It's everyone, you know, supporting each other and being mm. a community and having the beautiful gift of diversity, mm. you know, and being able to celebrate differences in that. And that's something that I think that we're constantly striving for, right? It's not seeing a us versus them approach. It's having these recovery-ready communities, is being able to have people in recovery feel like they are part of the society, not separate and mm-hmm. isolated from society. So mm-hmm. when I hear harmony, that's what I think of.
Well, and it's a great parallel to what you've talked about as far as what YPR is also about,
yeah,
which is
absolutely.
Really cool.
Absolutely. That's what we're gearing towards mm-hmm. all the time. 100%.
I think that's great. Thank you for sharing that. And you know, just to wrap up our last question, if someone was listening to this podcast today and they wanted to access services at YPR, how could they get in touch with you?
So the easiest way would be to go to our website, which is youngpeopleinrecovery.org, and you can click for the link with all of our chapters and click on the chapter location closest to you and send an email. Also, if someone is looking for one in the Denver or Denver metro area, my phone number is 720-666-4699. And if I cannot serve them in the Denver, I do have contact with the other Denver metro chapters, mm-hmm. and we can get it linked up, or anyone in Colorado I can help get linked up.
Wonderful. So.
We also have a presence on Facebook and Instagram as well, so if people type in YPR mm-hmm. and then whatever city that they're yep. closest to, our account should come up on that as well.
Perfect. Perfect way to end it. Thank you both yeah. so much for
Thank
coming
you.
Up today. It's
Thank
been
you.
A pleasure learning about all of you.
Yeah, I yes. appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you
Thanks.
So much.